The regent watched the messy spectacle for some time in horror, but then decisively reached for his weapon. I calmed the druid with a gesture and immediately set the princess free. Chinee Shu sprung instantly to her feet and disgustedly spat out a chewed piece of dried meat, which I'd just given her as a reward for good behavior.
Emra, never do that again!
I could read superstitious horror in the princess's eyes. The girl even hurried to run away and take shelter behind her advisor.
Beg your pardon, princess, but without a clear demonstration, you would have never believed me.
You should know, though, that I am far from the strongest mage in my squadron. The forest nymph is much stronger and can take several dozen creatures under her control at once. So, back to the topic of a possible Rougarou attack. Your warriors would start to fight with each other before even reaching the fortress, first taking down the Cyclops, then one another.
A tense silence arose. My opponents had yet to recover from the demonstration and were now digesting what they'd heard.
All right, Amra. Let's say you're right. The fleet in the river was destroyed, and our attack along the bank will drown in blood. What do you offer us?
The druid inquired, squeezing the girl tight to reassure her as she whimpered in indignant fear.
Before I make an offer, I need to know why we're even having this conflict. My orcs have never been hostile with the Rougarou, and what is more, our squadron even contained a member of your race at one point.
Just a second, my girl wants to tell me something. Please don't be afraid of my wyvern. She's well-trained and obedient.
Just then we heard the flapping of wide wings coming down from the dark sky, first barely detectable, but more distinct with every passing second. Vixen made a big circle over the island, searching for me in the thick fog, and finally noticed her master, plunking down right in the dirt just 5 meters away. Not paying any mind to the Rougarou, grumbling unhappily after being splashed with swamp muck, the Royal Forest Wyvern crawled over to me and extended her long neck, offering to send me the information I'd requested. I walked over to my precious pet and touched my forehead to hers. Black River. Lots of islands. A whole labyrinth of stilted-up passageways. Everything in such thick fog that she had to fly right over the water, nearly touching the surface of the Black River. Fires in the fog. A sharp turn toward them, gaining height. A big island. Straw huts, many. A central square in the middle of a large village. A tall pillar with a totem in the shape of a white flower over a fanged canine mouth.
Just what I needed. My master will be happy. Yes, exactly what I was looking for, I confirmed, embracing my winged sweetie by the neck and stroking the wyvern's emerald scales. You're completely forgiven. What a smart cookie.
The huge winged snake wagged her long scaly tail from side to side in the swamp mud, just like a dog, then, overcome with emotion, she tried to lick my face with her split tongue and lightly nibbled my hand. Successful check for poison resistance. Experience received, 1,300 experience.
Hey, you don't need to be that sweet. Don't forget you're poisonous after all.
I pulled my hand from the frightening jaws and pushed her snake-like head away good-naturedly.
And now, Vixen, I've got a new mission for you. You're gonna like this one. Go to the orc camp, pick up our prisoner, and bring him to the place you just showed me. When you get there, take off his blindfold and wait for him to take a look around, then gulp him down.
Animal control skill increased to level 47. Vixen flapped her wings excitedly and, taking off noisily and splashing mud, headed toward the orc camp to complete her mission. I then sent my sister a private message.
Val, I just had an idea for how to get the players off our trail. Vixen is going to come now. Give her the captive. She will take him to the Rougarou camp, let him take a look around, and get the coordinates of our secret refuge, then eat him on an altar. However, we shouldn't let all the experience for killing a level 88 bowman go to just one creature. Let Yuna first give the prisoner a little stab with her dagger to share the experience. My niece needs to level up quickly to get back to where she was.
So then, respected princess and advisor, I beg your forgiveness for the brief delay and suggest we return to our negotiations.
What prisoner were you talking about planning to execute?
The princess's advisor wondered, on his guard, clearly having listened carefully to me.
Don't you worry, he isn't a Rougarou. He's a scout we caught from the first squadron of the Undying.
It's just that, not far from this island, the countryside is lousy with enraged undying. We tried to hold them in the lower fort, and even sent many of them to respawn, but in the end, they made it through. And so, now we have to take measures to track the movement of our enemies, and not let them take down my squadron.
But why?
Asked Chinese Shu, still hiding behind her companion.
Amra, you're undying, after all, and my warriors saw another few undying in your squadron. Why don't you come to an agreement amongst yourselves?
The cute, big-eared, dog-faced girl reminded me distinctly of Taisha in her earlier days with her childlike naivete. She had once thought that, if I could just speak with other undying, they would immediately be ashamed at their unlawful behavior and stop destroying the goblin village of Tish. How could I explain this in simple words so the princess would understand?
Sweet princess, the undying are very different, and it has nothing to do with origin. The ability to never perish once and for all gives many undying the idea that everything is allowed and nothing is punished. They kill simply for fun, especially when they see creatures of other species and races. Among the undying, the majority are people, elves and half-elves, and they don't even think about legality or morals. When they see my orcs or your Rougarou before them, they simply kill. But I don't consider the Rougarou my enemies, so I was not planning to attack your villages and exterminate your people. I was simply planning to lead my orcs through your territories quickly without getting into any conflicts. We are on our way past the rapids of the Black River, to a place where the undying cannot get us.
Diplomat skill increased to level 4. Diplomat skill increased to level 5. Trading skill increased to level 28.
I did not know that, the princess admitted honestly. I thought all the undying were identically evil. That is why I agreed to the advice of my regent to lure the dangerous newcomers from the fortress and leave them on a desolate island in the forest far away from the Rougarou village. If the orcs had returned our ships and hadn't started making new oars to replace the ones my oarsmen took away, we wouldn't have attacked.
You leave guests in a desolate place they aren't familiar with, which just so happens to be an island, then expect them to simply sit with their hands crossed and not even try to leave? Ah, princess, your naivete impresses me.
Chinese Shu got embarrassed and fell silent, but instead of her, the druid joined the conversation.
We treated you the way we treat all enemies. Yes, it was I who suggested my princess use some military cleverness and lure your squadron away from the fortress, the regent admitted. But we became enemies before that. The Rougarou are subjects of the Dark Sovereign, and we swore to defend the borders of his territories. We received news of the battle in the swamps and the death of our neighbor, the Rat King. He was also a subject of the Dark Sovereign and our ally. We saw a giant in your squadron wearing the late king's armor. His magic wand is with the forest nymph, and you yourself are riding the swamp wolf Alpha, his former mount.
Whoa. I didn't answer immediately, but first walked up to Baron, who he'd mentioned, and thoughtfully stroked the huge dark brown wolf on his powerful furry chest. I never would have thought all this hubbub was due to our victory over the mixed army of the living and undead. It wasn't exactly possible to come to a peaceful agreement with them. The army of the Rat King attacked us as soon as they saw us. But now, when the true reason for the Rougarou's hostility was revealed, we could try to resolve the root of the conflict and solve things peacefully. What about declaring to the Rougarou that we were not enemies of the Dark Sovereign, and were going to meet him and join his army? Beyond that, as a video game plotline tester, I was interested in being on the same side as all those inhabiting higher up the sticks. What if I managed to join forces with the Dark Sovereign? I wondered if that was even possible. At the very least, it was worth a try, because it wasn't just an unexplored scenario, but also an interesting way of behaving, and if I could pull it off, it would allow my squadron to walk unimpeded up the sticks through all territories of the Dark Sovereign. I walked away from Baron, shifted my tone from confident and decisive to tired and pensive, then said,
I'll admit, I really don't understand why the Rat King attacked my squadron. Orcs have never really been considered one of the forces of light. In fact, it's more the other way around.
and we could easily have become loyal allies or even subjects of the Dark Sovereign. And also, the Emissary of Darkness, who showed up after the battle, just kept telling us to turn back like a parrot instead of offering different options. We are just looking for a calm place to settle higher up the Black River, where all the people and elves of the Undying will not follow us. And if the Dark Sovereign could give us some territories to settle, we would develop them and defend them valiantly. Now came my opponent's turn to think seriously. The princess and her advisor walked farther away and started whispering. I didn't listen in. Despite my huge, sensitive ears, I just wasn't feeling like it. Valeriana Quickfoot wrote that Max Sochnier's girlfriend Olilissa had been seriously wounded, and the Naiad traitor's pet swordfish Claymore had been killed. More than 300 players had left the lower fort and were making their way up the Styx, apparently heading in our direction. "Ready the boats, and be prepared to leave at any time." We needed to move on immediately before this wave of players caught up to my squadron. But here, the Rougarou negotiators came to some kind of decision and returned to me. Princess Chinese Shu bowed with a proud look and told me,
"Amra, the Clan of the White Lily is prepared to allow you and your squadron passage through our territories. What is more, we will get in touch with neighboring clans and ask them to do the same. Our influence on the other subjects of the Dark Sovereign is too small to influence their decision, but we will still tell the Cyclopes and Mountain Giants of your arrival, so they won't attack you out of ignorance."
Mission completed. Negotiations with the Rougarou. 1 of 2. Experience received. 4,320 experience. Opinion of the Clan of the White Lily increased by +15. +5 to Rougarou opinion. Diplomat skill increased to level 6. Trading skill increased to level 29. The markers on the minimap for the princess and her advisor changed to a neutral yellow color. However, I was no longer hot or cold to their agreement or disagreement, because the Clan of the White Lily couldn't stop my orcs from leaving by boat. But as for what they said about the other clans, Cyclopes and Giants, that was just what I wanted to hear. I bowed and thanked the princess and her advisor for the wise decision, then, in a burst of good nature, decided to tell the Rougarou about the 300 undying on the way to their camp.
"They don't know about our camp, so we'll be safe," the druid said, waving off the threat as inconsequential.
"A village with straw huts on a large island where, in the middle of the square, there is a tall totem with a white flower over a fanged wolf mouth? The undying have already discovered it and will soon flatten it."
The tranquility instantly flew off Uvari Dor's face, and the more emotional princess started whimpering in fear. Uvari Dor Shu reproached me.
"Amra, my tribe could be wiped out. You knew about it but kept silent?
1 minute ago we were enemies, so I had no reason to help you," I said, giving a just objection to his reproach. "In fact, I was even planning to use your village as a lure to draw the undying and allow me and my squadron to leave. But circumstances have changed. You stopped being hostile, so I honestly told your clan about the approaching danger. And if we were friends, I'd even help warn the residents of the island, who don't suspect a thing, to get them out of their doomed village."
Diplomat skill increased to level 7. Diplomat skill increased to level 8.
"Can we warn them?"
the young princess asked, looking to her regent and awaiting his answer. But the druid just fatefully lowered his fanged snout after some thoughtful silence and said,
"My princess, we don't have any more boats to send a messenger and tell the peaceful residents of the camp about the approaching danger. I'm afraid the residents of the village are doomed. No matter how intensely pitiful it may be, we are in no condition to help them, and our priority now is to save our very strongest warriors by making sure the undying cannot find them. The skeleton of a warband will survive. We'll still have our territory and can make a new village. Also, new residents will show up sooner or later."
"No!"
the young princess shouted out in despair.
"That is a very bad solution, advisor. If we cannot deal with it ourselves, then let's ask Amra and his orcs for help."
Mission received. Negotiations with the Rougarou. 2 of 2. Mission class. Rare. Racial. Time limited. Description. The village of the Clan of the White Lily will be attacked by players very soon, while the warriors of the clan will not be able to get there fast enough to help. Come to an agreement with the Rougarou to work together and reach the village fast enough to warn and evacuate as many villagers as possible. Reward, 32,000 experience, plus 15 to the opinion of the Clan of the White Lily, plus 5 to the opinion of all other clans. Penalty for failure, hostility with the Rougarou. Bonus condition, rescue all the peaceful villagers. Reward, loyalty of the Princess of the Clan of the White Lily. Bonus condition, rescue all the village's warriors. Reward, loyalty of the Regent of the Clan of the White Lily. Reward if all conditions are met. Alliance offer from the Clan of the White Lily. Time limit, 17 minutes 32 seconds. The princess begged, promised, and even tried to kneel, but her advisor and I didn't allow Chinese Shu to lower herself so much, picking her up before she hit the ground. All the same, I wasn't fully listening, so I didn't give a concrete answer. I was more interested in the mission description. First of all, I opened the map and looked at the distance between my camp and the island village. 4.5 kilometers? Come on, are you kidding? Just getting there would take at least half an hour, and maybe even twice that. Why was it giving me so little time? All my showy pretense and confidence instantly flew away. I needed to act very quickly, because every second counted, and it seemed that, without using magic, there was nothing to be done. I told Valeriana Quickfoot about the situation, and ordered her to get in a boat, but not go anywhere yet and wait for the Rougarou warriors. I also called Vixen and told my flying beauty to come to me as fast as she could. Finally, I got up to the totally despairing and lost Rougarou huntress, who was crouching right in the mud and wiping bitter tears from her snout. The regent didn't even try to comfort her, because he understood that any words now would be pointless and empty. "Princess, I'll help you save your subjects, but you need to trust me. We're going to fly together to the island village of the Clan of the White Lily on my wyvern. It's the fastest way. The Rougarou won't believe me on my own, so I need you to come with. Meanwhile, your advisor, Uvari Dor Shu, can talk with the Rougarou warriors here on the island, and they can enter the orc camp. My warriors will let them in unimpeded and show them free places in the boats. Rowing to your island will take all our strength, and I'm very much hoping for magical support from the Mavka and my shaman. Also, there is a seriously wounded Nereid by the name Olilissa in the water next to the island. Uvari Dor Shu, as far as I know, druids have healing magic. I ask you to help the Nereid, because Olilissa is very dear to my friend." The regent gave a dignified, barely noticeable nod. The princess then hopped up and threw herself around my neck, embracing me and not so much kissing as licking my face like a dog. Diplomat skill increased to level 9. Foreman skill increased to level 50. You may now choose your second specialization in this skill. We just barely made it. I mean, Vixen proved herself above all praise, bringing me and Chinese Shu to the village of the Clan of the White Lily in the blink of an eye. The girl was terrified the whole ride and held on to me tightly. The residents immediately ran out of their huts to see what the alarming sound of warning was, and it didn't take them long to pack up. The Rougarou just grabbed their most valuable possessions, above all their children, and hurried to the dock. But there weren't many boats left in the village, and only a third of the villagers could fit. The others had to wait for the warriors to arrive and quickly take their places at the very last moment. We could already hear the ghastly wail of a great many approaching monsters through the fog. In front of the army of undying, there was a cohort of the most unbelievable pets.
"Let's go! Down that channel! I'll create an illusion of shore in pebbles!"
Valeriana Quickfoot commanded, and the magic wand in her hand lit up with a dark blue flame. The chain of boats with the last runaways hid in the channel. The princess and I, though, stayed back a bit. The girl was getting some of the clan's valuables and relics from the chieftain's hut, and I was pulling up some large, unusual, white, orange, and light blue lilies growing next to the totem pole, taking some with the root so I could replant them later. Mystical royal lily, alchemy ingredient. Dappled royal lily, alchemy ingredient. River royal lily, alchemy ingredient. You are the first to discover these plants in Boundless Realm. Herbalism skill increased to level 28. Herbalism skill increased to level 29. Herbalism skill increased to level 30. Herbalism skill increased to level 31. Fame increased. Present value, 21. What a successful feat! My boss would be quite satisfied at such speedy leveling of my herbalism skill. I was reminded that, quite recently, Chinese Shu had told me that their village had twice been devastated by undying. But that meant there wasn't a single herbalist among those players, because no one had discovered these rare yet prominent plants before. My theory that the higher up the sticks I got, the more unknown herbs and flowers I would find, was now proven. Only when attacker markers showed up on the mini-map did I take off into the air with Vixen. Holding the furry princess in front of me with one hand as she shivered in fear, I banked a steep turn and, at a blistering speed, carried us right over the forward group of approaching players. In that squadron, there were 40 or 50 players, and there were some there of every kind. Elemental mages, necromancers, bowmen, druids, paladins. They were going to the doomed village through the water, or, to be more accurate, on ice created by their mages. They clearly weren't expecting to see me overhead. After us, there whistled a couple belated arrows. Also, a fireball loosed by a mage flew up into the sky. Animal control skill increased to level 48. Dodge skill increased to level 29. Riding skill increased to level 23. "Too bad you aren't a dragon," I said, patting my emerald darling on the back. "Maybe we could try and melt the ice under their feet. Not too many of them have heavy armor on, though, so most of them would be able to swim. All right, let's make another circle and distract the undying so our boats can get a bit further away." Vixen made a second turn back, but sharply recoiled and even started spinning, letting a huge ballista bolt go past us, followed by a swarm of crossbow bolts and arrows of a more reasonable size. Successful agility check. Experience received, 23 experience. Dodge skill increased to level 30. I barely managed to keep hold of the wyvern during her high-octane maneuvers and ordered my mount to fly higher, out of range. I didn't know that our enemies had brought war machinery with them. Also, the players weren't even remotely surprised by my wyvern. Our mid-air pirouettes started looking a bit foolhardy. We might not get so lucky next time. What was more, the Rougarou princess sitting in front of me was all green and whimpering through clenched teeth that she had motion sickness. I had to get away, taking a very wide curve and changing flight direction a few times so none of the pursuers could guess where we were going. As soon as Vixen got a bit further from the players and disappeared from view, I saw a message from Antonius Just in the local chat. "It's no use to run, Amra. We're going to catch your squadron either in the upper fort or at the river rapids, where you'll be forced to come ashore. So let's not waste time and agree right now. You understand perfectly we're interested in you as a vampire. I want to know your terms." Mission completed. Negotiations with the Rougarou. 2 of 2. Experience received. 8,640 experience. Opinion of the Clan of the White Lily increased by +15. +5 to Rougarou opinion of you. Reward for bonus condition. Princess of the Clan of the White Lily's opinion increased to +100. Diplomat skill increased to level 10. Chinese Shu's marker on the map changed color not just to green, but straight to blue for ally. I spent some time staring at that change with a satisfied grin. Then it hit me. Hey, where was the reward for the second bonus condition? And where was the alliance offer from the Clan of the White Lily? They hadn't lost a warrior, right? My sister answered my question in a private message. "The Cyclops couldn't fit in the boat, or even two boats tied together. We had to leave him next to the camp and tell him what direction to go in so the Undying wouldn't find him. But he was very slow, and it seemed to me not overly intelligent." "The Cyclops? But he wasn't a Rougarou. Why had his death affected my mission?" But when I told my companion about the death of the Cyclops, Chinese Shu got very upset and even afraid. "That was Yuwu, the youngest son of the Cyclops chieftain. We have a treaty with our neighbors. Two of my cousins live with them, and Yuwu with us. They're all guests and, at the same time, hostages. It's an age-old tradition and something of a guarantee of peace. Yuwu has been living with the Clan of the White Lily for a long time, and was even considered an honorary Rougarou.
What will happen now? The Cyclopes are sure to start a war when they find out what happened. My cousins might as well be dead already.
The girl started wailing and, turning to face me, tucked her little snout into my shoulder. I embraced her and was preparing to give the unfortunate princess words of reassurance when suddenly, in a gap in the clouds, I saw a sight that both impressed and shocked me. Up to her knees in black water, holding the hem of a long dress with her hands, a huge woman was walking through the Styx. She was roughly as tall as a 9-story building. Her long dark hair was unkempt, and her eyes were flickering with a hateful orange and red fire. The first thought to bubble up in my head was that this was the Cyclops' mother, coming to take revenge for her fallen son, but this woman had 2 eyes, and not one. Soon, though, Vixen flew up closer, and the woman made another step forward in the River of Death, so I could now read the giant's name. Hel, ruler of the world of the dead, unique creature. The fog around hid me from the fearsome goddess, but just in case, I turned the royal forest wyvern sharply so I wouldn't accidentally run into the frightening lady in bad visibility. All the same, 2 hands popped up from the sheet of cloud and very skillfully plucked Vixen out of the air like a dragonfly. My emerald beauty batted her wings, nearly breaking them, and tried to poke her long neck out between the giantess's fingers, but Hel was holding my wyvern tight in the trap of her 2 folded hands. Chinee Shu gave a howling wail and started whimpering in fear. I completely understood and shared her feelings, although I would not die once and for all.
So here you are, the thief who dared to intrude into my lands and steal from my guard Modgud.
The fearsome goddess was looking at me through the gaps between her fingers.
Did you think that because you'd escaped, you'd gotten away scot-free and I wouldn't find you?
Island Duel. In that tense moment, I wasn't thinking about myself at all, and not even my beautiful emerald wyvern. With all her colossal dimensions and deadly power, Hel could easily send us to respawn. Yes, it would be unpleasant, but we only risked losing a bit of experience and time. For the young Rougarou princess, though, this would be her only and final death. I liked Chinee Shu. She was fun, cute, and fluffy. She also had her own point of view on Boundless Realm, a distinct character and convictions, creating a mixture of pride, high-handedness, and naivete. I had already started making certain plans for the Rougarou princess and her clan, and I was thinking about ways to bring them with me on the journey up the Styx. The viewers of my video clips were sure to like such a companion for my goblin herbalist, while 200 Rougarou warriors with average level around 100 would be a great reinforcement for my army. Also, I was sure I could find an application for the 300 Rougarou with peaceful professions. I had seen smiths, weavers, bakers, and carpenters, and they would all have work. But all these plans threatened to collapse because of this immortal lady, who was now looking at us through the gaps between her fingers like some silly little animals through the bars of a cage. The giantess could have easily crushed us with her huge hands, smashing us like pestilent insects, but she was in no rush.
"Don't leave my side," I whispered to Chinee Shu, who was shaking in terror. "I'll try to protect you as best I can."
The girl nodded in silence and pressed herself closer to me as her only hope and protection. Of course, it was very arrogant and even naive on my part to hope even I could escape this situation, and all the more so to promise to help the princess. Although Amra's strength and constitution were much higher than other level 52 beings, the immortal goddess Hel wouldn't even notice my resistance if she wanted to close her hand. As if reading my thoughts, she strengthened her grasp. Vixen started shrieking in pain as the bones in her luxuriant wings crunched. What could I do? Could anything really stand up against such a powerful and high-level creature? Maybe a creature twice her level? I then opened my inventory, searching for the Dark Rider's arrow, but at the last minute snapped my hand back, not wanting to use such a dangerous and unpleasant object. A midnight wraith, twice the level of one of the highest goddesses of the Scandinavian pantheon, is not the kind of creature you'd want in your vicinity. That would have meant certain death to everything around. At that moment, a desperate idea came to my head to bite Hel's finger before the goddess crushed us all.
I sunk my teeth into the nearest finger, as big around as a 100-year-old oak and with skin as tough as tree bark. Achievement unlocked. Taste tester. 150 of 1,000. Regeneration improved to 50 hit points per minute. Resistance to death magic increased to 10%. Fame increased. Present value, 22. My taste tester had grown by 50 points in one go. The blood of the gods was much more potent than that of mere mortals.
Ow!
I suspect the giantess shouted not so much in pain as in surprise.
A vampire? You insolent bloodsucker! Now you'll see why I'm called the sovereign of the world of the dead. Even the undying find it extremely difficult to escape my gloomy, lifeless lands and get back to the world of the living.
And here, Hel suddenly froze and slightly opened her fingers. The eyes of the goddess grew wide in surprise.
Now this is really interesting. The soul of my brother lives in your puny little body. Fenrir, is that you?
Whoa. The surprise of the goddess was simply nothing in comparison with my own. Was Hel Fenrir's sister? I'll admit, I had a poor understanding of Scandinavian mythology, so I didn't know. Now that would be an unexpected twist. But to me, it was a great chance to escape and also save Vixen and Chinese Shu.
I'm not Fenrir yet, but I am trying to become his reincarnation, I shouted to the goddess, and she completely unclenched her fingers.
Fool! Why didn't you tell my servant Modgud right away? You dragged away a puppy, but you could have chosen any of the grim immortal hounds of the Wild Hunt. And what use are ghostly hounds? In Modgud's kennel, a litter was just born that included the four-eyed Garm, the greatest of dogs. Now that's a pretty little animal. After he grows up a bit, he'll become the pride of our whole land. Then you'll see. Even the much-vaunted Cerberus of the ancient gods won't come close. You could have walked up to my servant like a master and just taken Garm, but you didn't. You crawled into the garden like a thief. Eh, what am I talking about dogs for? Your own children are the heavenly wargs Skull and Hattie. They'd have followed you with just one word.
The more Hel spoke, the lower my head drooped. As it turned out, on the border between the worlds of the dead and the living, in the land of the giants, there were so many possibilities I could have just extended a hand and taken, but I didn't even notice. Now, though, it was too late to change anything. According to the goddess, if fate had wanted to give me something other than the pup Giyul, I would have gotten it. But as I hadn't taken anything else, that meant I wasn't meant to have it. Somewhat strange logic, to my eye, but I didn't want to risk arguing with the fearsome goddess.
By the way, who dared put a curse on you?
Lightning bolts of rage flickered in Hel's eyes again. I explained to the giant as best I could that it was done on my own request to help me take down a dark rider and a cunning midnight wraith. But the curse was no longer important, and if my sister were to remove it, I would only be glad. Hel led her hand over my head, and Amra had a wave of sparkling golden air flow over him. I got a message saying the curse had been removed and that I had received quite a weighty divine blessing. Divine blessing. For the next 72 hours, your character will receive 200% experience. For the next 72 hours, you will be immune to the rays of the sun and holy magic. Next to me, the princess was laughing in joy, having received complete immunity to fear and death magic for the next 3 days. Vixen then spread her beautiful emerald wings once again. All her broken bones and wounds had healed instantly.
It's time for me to go,
Hel said, bowing and carefully placing her hand on the ground, offering to let us out on the banks of the river.
If there's any way I can help you, brother, now is the time to say. If you want, I could take all the pursuers after you and bring them to the world of the dead, for example.
It was very tempting to send 300 hostile players to respawn, but I still refused. It wouldn't really be of any use. I wouldn't get any experience from their death, and the players would just respawn to threaten me and my squadron again. But if it was possible to stop them from getting in front of my squadron and not let them organize a siege of the upper fort or at the rapids of the Styx... Wait, why was I thinking so one-dimensionally?
Hell, if you really want to help, I need a portal for my whole squadron to the upper reaches of the Styx.
Diplomat skill increased to level 11. Trading skill increased to level 30.
Could you be more specific?
The goddess clarified.
The River of Death is unbelievably long and doesn't have a source. Many different small rivers and streams, which begin both in the world of the dead and even in chaos, the first thing to exist, join up with the Styx. Where do you need to go, brother?
Whoa. I didn't know these details about the geography of the Styx, so I didn't have any idea of how to put my question more specifically. If it wasn't possible to find the source of the Black River, then where did I even need to go? And how could I even fulfill my promise to the viewers if the Black River had no beginning?
I can open gates to the very farthest borders of the land of the giants, where my territory and power ends. From there, you will find the lands of the Dark Sovereign, although I don't know much about those areas, and even less about their ruler.
Yes, that's exactly where I need to go,
I assured the goddess, and Hel extended me a long, bright red thread, which she plucked from her dress.
Single-use magic portal circle.
Connect the two ends, throw the circle on the ground, and gates will appear. Although I don't understand, Amra, what you want in those gloomy lands. The water of the Styx there is so cold and toxic that everything alive will die just by touching it. Eternal twilight, vast hordes of starving wights and creatures warped by magic, which no longer belong either to the living or the undead. Even I, the ruler of the world of the dead, find them terrifying.
Chinese Shu gave a somewhat stupid smile when she heard these words, like a student high on pot. The Rougarou girl clearly found it funny that the goddess of the world of the dead was afraid of dead things. I shook my head reproachfully. Immunity to fear wasn't always a boon to the health, and I was afraid that Hel would get offended she was being laughed at. The goddess really did look unhappily at the princess, who had shown joy at the wrong time, but didn't say anything out loud. Instead of that, the giantess tore a dark hair from her head and gave it to me with the words,
"At least take a normal weapon to use against the inhabitants of those places. I mean, your spiky ball isn't going to do any damage to ghosts."
Hair Whip of the Goddess Hel, unique weapon. Indestructible. +35% chance of ignoring armor. +47% chance of ignoring incorporeity. +18 exotic weapon skill. +112% damage dealt to undead and dark creatures.
A serious weapon. I wanted to thank the giantess for such a luxurious gift, but the huge woman just smiled, took a step back, and dissolved into the dense fog. And something was telling me that there was no longer any sense in searching for her nearby. The goddess may have been hundreds or even thousands of kilometers away. The next stage of the negotiations with the Rougarou took place on a small rocky island in the middle of the Black River. The clan of the White Lily was represented by the princess and her regent, and from our side, I took Valeriana Quickfoot for support and advice.
The clan of the White Lily isn't going anywhere. This is our land, and we've lived here for centuries.
Uvari Dor was annoyed and categorical. He simply ignored all my reasoning about the coming of the Undying.
I'm afraid, Uvari Dor Shu, that you simply underestimate the scale of the threat.
During my speech, I was stroking the red fur of the huge and ghastly level 212 guard dog, who was lying at my feet and groaning in satisfaction.
Just an hour and a half ago, 300 undying nearly cut down your whole clan, including nursing babies. And well, those 300 undying haven't gone anywhere.
They're roving about somewhere nearby in the fog, and sooner or later they will find us. The 12 kilometers we put between us and the island village is basically nothing to their scouts. We need to get further away, where the Undying will not find your Rougarou, and using a portal is one way to do that.
Diplomat skill increased to level 12. It was obvious that the princess was prepared to approve my plan and take her whole clan of the White Lily far away from the impertinent Undying, who were becoming the scourge of these regions. But the girl either was not accustomed to making such serious decisions without the approval of her experienced advisor, or simply didn't have the right. And the conservative druid was categorically against resettlement, so the negotiations had come to a standstill. Just then, a private message came in from my sister, and I took a break to read through it.
What are you dawdling for, Tim? The 2 hostage cousins of the princess you told me about have already been executed by the Cyclopes, so the overall opinion of the clan of the White Lily is now equal to the arithmetical mean of the opinion of the princess and this stubborn druid. They're the last 2 key NPCs, so their whole clan's opinion depends on them. The princess is completely loyal, and if she were to become the only key character, the whole clan would follow you to the ends of the earth.
Technically, my sister was suggesting I simply kill the stubborn, hard-headed druid and thus gain control of the Rougarou clan through the princess. It was harsh, but clearly, the forest nymph no longer saw any other options. I'll admit, I had already lost my patience with the unsuccessful attempts to convince the regent. All the same, I tried one more time to solve the issue diplomatically.
Advisor Uvari Dorshu, as you can plainly see, I am one of the Undying. Let's not argue whether that's good or bad for the Rougarou now, because there is no conclusive answer. But I am aware of a few plans, and can assure you that those 300 Undying we saw in the lower fort are just a pitiful advance party before a truly huge army. Soon, tens of thousands of Undying will be passing through these lands, and the clan of the White Lily won't have a single chance of survival. I sincerely want to help your clan. I like Chinese Shu, and don't want the sweet young girl to die.
Successful check for Chinese Shu's reaction. Check for Uvari Dorshu's reaction failed.
How can I know whether your words about an undying invasion and desire to help are true and not a lie? For now I see an obvious trap. You're suggesting that my clan leave its homelands and pass through a portal to such wild and dangerous places that only undead and mutants live there, where the water is poisoned and there isn't enough light to grow grain. After the portal is closed, we will not be able to return, and will die in those ghastly lands.
The regent had now built up to a hysterical scream, which clearly didn't make him more convincing in the eyes of the princess. More likely the opposite. Unlike the advisor, I spoke in a calm and confident voice, and could feel with my very skin that my reasoning was being accepted by Chinese Shu.
The lands under control of the Dark Sovereign are expansive. There are plenty of dead places, but also places that are just fine to live in. Our shared mission is to achieve an audience with the Dark Sovereign, and, after assuring him of our fidelity, obtain fruitful lands for both orcs and Rougarou, where the Undying cannot come.
Diplomat skill increased to level 13. Check for Uvari Dorshu's reaction failed.
Never in my life would I believe it was possible to meet the Dark Sovereign himself, Uvari Dorshu went back into a hysterical shout. This whole fairy tale looks too fantastical and adventuresome. No, no, and no again. My clan will not follow outsiders, and what is more, will never follow a bloodthirsty and cunning vampire.
The yellow marker of the druid on the minimap changed color to a fully hostile red. I don't know if Chinese Shu had told her advisor what the goddess said about Bloodsucker, or if the druid found out my secret by some other means, but the racial penalty of vampires giving -50 to the reaction of any living creature was coming at a very bad time. Convincing the already obstinate druid had become practically impossible.
My clan?
Chinese Shu suddenly perked up her ears.
Since when, Advisor Uvari Dor, does the clan of the White Lily belong to you?
I meant to say the clan temporarily entrusted to my control, until your highness comes of age.
The Rougarou druid prattled out, afraid and embarrassed, but the forest nymph cut him off with a gesture.
Princess, if you'd please answer, I'm just curious. Who would be in charge of the clan of the White Lily if something were to happen to your highness?
The young huntress thought about it briefly, then pointed with a clawed paw at the regent. The forest nymph started laughing acridly and shook her head in reproach. I caught my smarty pants sister's idea right away and tried to build on it.
Then I see why your advisor is so impatient to place the clan of the White Lily and its princess in harm's way. All of your relatives are dead, and all your advisor has to do is get rid of one last representative of the old dynasty. Then power over the clan will be fully transferred to him. Technically, Uvaridor Shu is already the leader. The princess trusts him, and from here, it's just a technical matter of making sure the naive girl dies in the upcoming encounter with the Undying. Diplomat skill increased to level 14.
Yikes!
The princess's already big eyes had grown huge in surprise, like those of an anime character. She clearly hadn't ever even considered the line of succession in the clan before.
How dare you accuse me of betrayal?
The druid objected, walking up to me and starting to growl, showing his fangs.
I have served Chinese Shu's relatives faithfully my whole life, and after their death, I have served their daughter. But you, vampire, are foreign to our Rougarou clan. Get out of here with your orcs and leave us in peace. Princess, order Emra to leave.
Successful check for Chinese Shu's reaction. Check for Uvaridor Shu's reaction failed. The girl went silent and just lowered her snout to the floor, starting to whine just like a dog. We reached a dead end. The young Rougarou princess didn't want to leave without me, but she also couldn't find the resolve to contradict her advisor.
It seems this interminable situation can only be resolved by a ritual duel,
the regent roared, frightfully upset by the princess's silence.
We will have a battle to the death, one on one. One Rougarou from the clan of the White Lily against any of your warriors. If my duelist wins, you and your orcs get out of here and leave our clan in peace forever.
The princess started trying to break up the fight, but it was too late. No one was even listening to her anymore. My sister then gave an approving hand clap and wrote me a private message.
All right, finally! I was starting to get worried. My operation is in 2 hours, and you were just tongue-tied, unable to solve the Rougarou problem. Agree to the duel now, before this mutt changes his mind.
Sounds good,
I agreed, barely able to hold back a smile after reading my sister's message.
But if my duelist wins, you must obey me and lead the Rougarou of the clan of the White Lily wherever I say.
The huge, shaggy, dog-headed man stretched out his lips into a ghastly, fanged smile.
Agreed. Fortunately, I'll never have to see such a shameful act, because I will be the Rougarou duelist. And now, name your fighter.
Valeriana Quickfoot took a step forward and, skillfully tossing her shining scepter from hand to hand, asked,
Emra, let me fight. You've seen me in action many times, and know perfectly well that this hard-headed furball doesn't stand the slightest chance against me. My hornets will devour his frozen corpse in a matter of seconds, even through his thick fur.
Hornets?
The high-level opponent faked amazement.
We were talking about a fair one-on-one fight, without the whole pack of other beings that accompany every undying.
If the Mavka, a beastmaster by trade, got embarrassed, her behavior didn't show it. I had no doubt in my sister and understood perfectly that if the forest nymph had spoken so openly about hornets and ice spells, that she was probably preparing a totally different plan for this battle. Valeriana was strong not only from her pets. She could also use water magic, illusion magic, and death magic, and with my sister's rich imagination, the variations for combining spells and tactics could be truly limitless. But appointing Valeriana or anyone else instead of myself, it was hard to find the words. Was it not right or something? After all, in this ritual duel, we were technically deciding whether Amra was strong and capable enough to replace Chinese Shu's advisor and lead the 500-strong Rougarou clan after him. So it would be more correct and honest for me to take part myself, despite the huge chasm in level between my level 52 goblin herbalist
and the level 124 Rougarou Druid.
I'll fight you myself.
Mission received. Negotiations with the Rougarou. Additional stage. Mission class. Required. Personal. Description. Defeat the Regent Uvari Dor Shu in a ritual duel to the death without using your pets. Reward. 48,000 experience, plus 15 to the opinion of the Clan of the White Lily, plus 5 to the opinion of all other clans, minus 30 to the opinion of Chinese Shu. Penalty for failure. Hostility with the Rougarou, minus 70 to the opinion of Chinese Shu. The princess was already crouching and whining in sadness. What was that? The girl must have been categorically opposed to her two closest friends fighting. Clearly, this was the very reason. No matter what the outcome of the duel, the princess's opinion would noticeably fall. My little sister was also obviously upset, but not over the duel, because I had refused her help.
It's your choice, Tim. I hope you know what you're doing.
I sent the Grey Pack to the furthest end of the island to avoid any excesses, ordering the wolves to lie down and not intervene under any circumstances. At the same time, the orcs and Rougarou from a few boats landed on the island and formed a small circle 30 steps across, thus blocking off the area for the ritual duel. In that perimeter, I saw the familiar faces of Ziabash Hardy, Eric, Shaman Gu, and Numb Spiteful. But the main part of the audience preferred to remain in their boats and observe the duel from afar. At the same time, many of the Rougarou were loudly cheering their fighter on, also shouting out curses and insults at me. My orcs were silent at first, not accustomed to such spectacles, so they slightly lost courage, but after that, they totally lit up.
Show this flea-ridden mutt who is the terror of the seas!
Captain, bite his nuts off!
Emra, break his neck!
The staff! Pull the staff from the Rougarou's paws and stick that curvy branch where the sun doesn't shine!
Valeriana Quickfoot, who should have been maintaining order, spent a long time comforting the weeping Chinese Shu, and finally convinced the princess to leave the circle.
"You may begin,"
the forest nymph exclaimed, before also leaving the perimeter, in order not to interfere in the duel. One after the next, I drank down an elixir of agility, strength, and speed, after which I took my whip in my hands and prepared to meet the huge shaggy Rougarou, who had thrown off practically all his clothing, leaving just a chest sling, and was stretching just 20 steps from me. The huge rippling muscles of the druid were distinctly visible even under the layer of thick brown fur, which inspired enthusiastic shouts from his tribe members, especially the females. By the way, the druid did not leave his staff and was spinning figure eights in the air with it, stretching the hands of his clawed paws. And then, without coming near me, the druid grabbed the staff with both of his paws and raised it over his head, shouting out a curse as he did. A crack formed in the dense gray clouds, and a bright ray of morning sunshine lit up the ground.
Sun!
Damage taken. 0 hit points. Immunity to sunlight. I tensed up in fear for a few seconds, morally prepared for a rapid death, but other than a few messages popping up about immunity to sunlight, nothing too scary happened. It was funny, but my dodge bar was quickly filling up. The game algorithms thought my character was dodging the deadly, dangerous rays by some kind of miracle. I snorted happily. I mean, it sounded pretty funny, dodging the sun. I wondered if I would have to move faster than the speed of light to really dodge the sun. Didn't that go against the laws of physics? In any case, I would have to thank Hell if I got the chance. It was her divine blessing that had allowed me to survive. Clearly, the druid was counting on a different effect when he had called the bright sunlight down on my vampire, because the huge Rougarou was batting his eyelids in surprise, and even lowered his staff. And while my opponent was still in a confused state, and the high-level druid hadn't readied something deadlier from his rich arsenal of spells, I dashed out in front, closing the gap. From 7 meters away, I gave a flick and lashed my opponent deeply with the unique hair whip.
Got him! Hit!
The whip strike connected with the Rougarou's shoulder, deeply splitting his flesh and spraying drops of blood. However, my opponent's life bar went down by, at best, 3%, but probably less. Damage dealt, 314. 2,467 whip strike, minus 709 armor. 70% resistance to physical damage.
exotic weapon skill increased to level 17.
Now it was my turn to stand in confusion with my jaw hanging down, and for the druid to touch his wound and be surprised at the lack of serious damage. What was more, Uvaridor Shu's excellent regeneration quickly healed the wound over, and the druid's life bar filled back up right before my eyes. I made another couple whiplashes, but other than raising my exotic weapon skill to 20, no effect was achieved. Uvaridor Shu recovered from all the damage quite quickly and easily, and on my next blow, he made a clever move and grabbed the whip as it curled around his hand, pulling the weapon away from me. However, his long and heavy druid staff was nowhere near the greatest weapon against my nimble goblin, and Amra easily dodged the bulky, inert bludgeon. Dodge skill increased to level 32. Dodge skill increased to level 33. Dodge skill increased to level 34. Acrobatic skill increased to level 23. For now, I was getting lucky. The druid hadn't hit me once. Nevertheless, my brain was fitfully searching for a way out, or better tactic. Should I just keep fighting and hope that, with my rapid leveling of skills in this duel, in 5 or 6 hours, my stats would be strong enough to do more serious damage to the enemy? Funny. I would get tired much faster than that. My endurance points would go down to 0, and I would begin to take heavy damage. But the druid decided to change tactics first. After throwing his useless staff aside, Uvaridor Shu got down on his haunches, and his body began to quickly change. All druids had the ability to take animal form in battle. I took advantage of his temporary vulnerability and gave him a vampire bite, a few strikes with my clawed gloves, and even threw my throwing net over him. Exotic weapon skill increased to level 21. Athletic skill increased to level 22. But from there, it got dire. A huge brown bear straightened up to his full 4-meter height and tore the throwing net to bits with ease, as if it were a spider web, then pinned me under him and started tearing with his fearsome claws. I answered with blows and occasionally restored my quickly falling health with vampire bites, making bleeding tear wounds, but I couldn't keep this going for long because my endurance was falling.
"Don't hold me back. Let your rage out. Otherwise we'll lose."
A voice rang out right in my head. It was definitely not a message from my sister or any other player. What the hell? Had I started hallucinating due to lack of air? The bear really was pressing on me with his paws and starting to strangle me. My ribs were creaking and threatening to break at any moment. I couldn't breathe. At that, I could barely hold back his fearsome jaws and stop his bare teeth from sinking into my neck. It seemed that no matter how I resisted using the arrow of darkness, I had no other way out. The druid had gained the upper hand in the ritual duel.
"Don't think about the pain and possible loss. Only rage and battle lust. Only the intoxicating taste of blood. Let me out."
There was that voice again. I understood it clearly and believed it. Just then, I wailed in unbearable pain when my own body began to transform. My bones stretched out. My jaw grew longer. My green skin grew black fur, and gruesome claws grew out of my furry fingers. Level 53. A huge black wolf, no smaller than the brown bear, had taken the place of the small and scrawny goblin in this fight. Two huge predators intertwined into a tangled ball with a roar, and rolling along the wet ground, were tearing into each other with teeth and claws. I couldn't see my audience and their reaction to what was happening because I was too busy tearing into the flesh of the enraged bear and getting soaked with blood, both his and my own, which was abundantly lashing from many wounds. It was the most natural mindlessness, pure intoxication of battle, like that experienced by the ancient berserkers. I didn't care about my own wounds, all the more so given that the blows and bites I was making were slightly restoring my character's health and healing my wounds. The scales on the altar of victory went back and forth for some time, but then started tipping distinctly in my favor. Finally, 3 minutes later, the exhausted, bloodied bear unclenched his gruesome embrace and collapsed onto his back. All that remained was for me to bite open his throat, and I sunk my fangs into the neck of the brown-furred predator. I wondered how many levels I would get for a solo victory over a creature that was 71 levels higher than me, especially considering the triple experience bonus I had.
25, or more like 28 levels.
No!
Breaking through the perimeter, Chinese Shu ran onto the